Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Look Up. We're so delighted that you're listening in, and we're continuing our journey on the life-changing truth verses that we're looking at. And the introductory comments by the announcer was saying that if you need advice on marriage is one thing. There's a lot of things we like to talk about, but we are focusing in on marriage right now. And we've been looking at some verses that apply to every Christian, whether you're married or single, but we've been taking the time to specifically attach these truths to marriage. For instance, if you're supposed to love one another, then husbands and wives should definitely love one another.
Start there. It's a good place to start.
If you're supposed to love your neighbor, then certainly husbands and wives should love one another. If you're supposed to love your enemy, for crying out loud, if you could love your enemy, then you could love your spouse, and I hope your spouse isn't your enemy. But anyway, that's the whole reasoning that we're taking this path. And remember, our opening statement when we started this series was that any marriage can work if you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. And so what we're doing right now is we're showing you what the right thing is. And folks, the right thing is always found in the scriptures. You want to know the right thing to do? Read your Bible. The Bible gives you instruction on what the right thing is.
You know, but the right thing may not always be... This thing is leading so far back. The right thing may not always be the easy thing. You need to know that, okay? If you're just looking for the easy road, that isn't always going to be what's right. So you need to know that. It's not always the easiest thing to do. But right. I'm sure Mike has turned this towards me, so I can tell you how to give us a call. So if you would like to give us a call, be live on the radio with us. If you have questions... Any questions, we'll take any questions, okay, and answer them. But especially if you have something about marriage, relationships, or the scriptures we're talking about that we bring up and you just don't quite understand it, or you have a different scenario, you want to know how to apply it. You know the scripture and you can't figure out how to apply it to your scenario. Go ahead, give us a call. And that would be at 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If you do not want to talk live on the radio, you can send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. That would be 208-891-2635. And we keep an eye on those messages. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, you can leave something in the comments and we will address it.
All right. Now, listen, what I want to do is just give you the big picture, because for one thing, we are looking at a text we started with, and that text we started with is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, and it says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So what we're looking at in this particular text is, what is the Lord's will? First of all, what is the Lord's will in your life as a believer, in your life as a man of God, in your life as a woman of God, in your life as a wife or as a husband? See, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be disconnected. I think that's part of the problem that people have is they compartmentalize their lives. That at work they're one person, at home they're another person, at church they're another person. We need to be children of God, walking in the Spirit, the same person at home as we are out in public, the same person at church as we are on the job. And if you're not, folks, I'm just telling you, the Lord wants you to fix that. The Lord wants you to repent and work on that, because You need to be a Christian through and through. You need to be walking in the Spirit and knowing how to apply biblical principles to your everyday life. So we're looking at this, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we went back all the way back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to get some context. We've been going through Ephesians 4. We left off last week reading verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." I want to remind you that obeying the word of God is part of walking in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, all the way back in verse 18 of chapter 4, talks about walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. And here in verse 30, it's saying, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And what makes the difference between walking in the Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit? Obedience. You're walking in obedience to the Word of God. If you are one who listens to the Word of God and says, Lord, help me to live that way, help me to be that way, then He's going to fill you with His Spirit. And matter of fact, you should make that your prayer too. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit and help me to be a child of God walking in obedience. But if you look at the Word of God, if you hear any commandments from the Word of God or instructions from the Word of God, and you say, nah, I don't think so, I don't want to do that, or you got an excuse or a little whining fit, but that's too hard, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. So all of these things we've been talking about are pictures of either walking in the Spirit or a picture of grieving the Holy Spirit. So you've got to keep in mind this fact as we read on into the next verse. Verse 31, I'm in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now there's, let's say, 6 things we're told to put away, okay? 6 things we're told to stop doing. And honestly, you just got to take it the way it reads. If you don't obey the Word of God, if you allow bitterness, let's just look at the first one on the list. If you allow bitterness to rule in your life, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you allow wrath and anger and clamor, let's see, what is that clamor? Because that's a word we don't usually use, but it's like a crying out, a whining and crying out, a tumult, a grief. There's different ways it has been translated, but it actually means outcry. But it's not a good outcry, okay?
It's a protest.
Good. That's a good way to put it.
It's a protest.
Very good. And so these kinds of things, folks, I trust if you're listening to Christian radio that you want to hear from God. If you're listening to Christian radio, I trust that you want God to speak to you. And if God's going to speak to you, He's going to expect to, I'm just guessing here, but God probably wants to make some changes in our lives, all of us, not just you, but all of us. And so when we listen to the Word of God, it's corrective. It's sometimes just inspirational and encouraging. It's exhortive, where He's telling us to, come on, let's move forward, let's do things, let's move in a positive direction. Sometimes it's rebuke. When we listen to the Word of God, it's all of these things, and you need to allow the Word of God to do its work in your life. Now, I think Linda's got something to add to this, so let me see if I can turn the stream sideways without twisting it over.
Okay, that works good enough. Hey, you know what? As I'm looking at this, it says, let all bitterness, another word for that is poison. It's poison to your soul. Wrath, anger, they're two kind of connected there. Clamoring, it's an outcry, it's a protest, it's a this ain't fair type thing. Evil speaking, put away from you with all malice. Malice is an intent to hurt. Okay? Do you see where all these things they're talking about in 31? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. That is all an intent to hurt someone. How horrible it is when it is our spouse. Mm. And I think as using this for a scripture to apply it to marriage, my gosh, if you have the intent to hurt your spouse, you're going to say some sharp little word because you've got a bitterness, you've got poison in your soul that you've allowed to continue. That's not two people willing to do the right thing.
Right.
That is
right.
Doing a very, very wrong thing. We are not to treat anybody this way, but least off our spouse. And that one thing with the malice of the intent to injure, the intent to harm. That's what these are all wrapped up in. Malice, and this explains how people are trying to do the malice. It is to be put away. You are to get rid of it. And as we go into the next verse, as Mike's always said, when it tells you get rid of something, the Bible gives you what to replace it with.
That's right.
So the next verse is going to tell you how we should treat each other. And this was the very, very first scripture on our list. That's how important it was. Not even thinking about how much it fit into the context of with this evil intent towards each other. Then it says, be kind to one another. Instead of bitter, instead of malice, instead of intending to hurt, you're to be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, not bitter, poison-hearted. Mm-hmm. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And why? Even as God in Christ forgave you. You were forgiven, so we need to forgive, okay? What it says, the measure you use to judge, you're going to be judged. If you forgive others, then you'll be forgiven. You got to take that serious. You can't expect, I want all this forgiveness from God, but you're not willing to extend it to others. Hmm. That kind of fits into the group where, say, didn't we do this in your name and didn't we do that in your name? And the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And here he could say, you worker of malice. If you've got malice in your heart, especially towards your spouse, especially towards your family, you need to get rid of it and you need to replace it with kindness, tenderheartedness. And how do you do that? You forgive because right. you've been forgiven.
Right. Very good. And, you know, Linda pointed out something that I think is really important that we take a next step here with is that, let me back up just 1 second, because that word malice, and Linda pointed out that it's the intent to harm. I just really believe right now there are a number of people listening to this program that you need to repent because your intent has been to harm your spouse. Okay, whether it's wives getting back to their husbands, getting back at them, or whether it's husbands getting back at your wife, let me just say there may be reasons why you're hurt, and that's understandable. There may be things that your husband or your wife did to you that hurt you, but the solution, or at least God's solution, is not that you have an intent to hurt them, because let me tell you something, there's nobody can hurt your spouse like you can. You are the most intimate person with your spouse. There's no one who knows them like you do. There's no one who has an insight to their feelings and their secrets like you do. And boy, what a dangerous place, or what a privileged place that is, how you could really hurt someone who you know so well, who's so close to you. The person who could hurt me the most is the person who's closest to me. And of course, in my life, it's Linda. But thank God I have a wife who's not out to hurt me. She has no intent to hurt me. I remember when we were working through those years of working through problems in our marriage, I would remind her and say, honey, I'm on your side. I love you. I'm not the enemy. I don't want to fight with you. I love you. And I'd hold her in my arms and tell her I love her. I think that's the approach that brings to reconciliation and healing in a marriage and a relationship. Reminding one another, wait a minute, I'm not the enemy and I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to fight with you. I love you. Now, don't want to fight with you doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to fight. I've had bosses that would do that, say, look, I'm not going to argue. What they mean is shut up and do what they tell you to do. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. If you say to your spouse, I don't want to argue with you, it doesn't mean don't argue with me. Just do what I tell you to do, because I've had bosses like that. Okay. What it means is, look, my intent is not to debate, to argue, to hurt. I love you. I want to build a bridge with you, and I want to do good to you and not evil, okay? So I just thought it was important to back up to that word malice, because honestly, I'll say it again. There are some people listening to the sound of my voice right now that you have been intending, and you have been doing it. You've been hurting your spouse intentionally. Or maybe there's somebody right now who you're about to begin a whole campaign of assault. You've been hurt by your spouse, and you're thinking, oh, I'll get her, but I'll get him. I know how to get him. I'll stick the knife in and turn it. Repent. Repent right now before you do any more damage. If you've already done some damage, apologize to your spouse. Let them know you love them. Let them know you're sorry. Move forward, not backwards, because God's intent is that you would not have intent to harm one another, but that you build bridges of love. And so that's really, really important. I've got more to say, but I think Linda's got something
well,
on that
one. Well, I'm just feeling to add along with that. We are applying these scriptures to marriage. But this is not a marriage scripture. This is how we are to treat one another. Mm-hmm. This is how we're to treat other people. Right. And I feel like there's someone out there right. that maybe it's not their spouse. So you don't get off the hook.
Very good.
Was saying, if you're got malice towards your spouse, oh no, if you got malice towards anyone, don't do it. Do not do it. That is not how we behave in the body of Christ, okay? We love, we forgive. Doesn't mean you take people in and embrace them if they've hurt you, but you don't turn around and intend to hurt them, to do harm to them. So, you know, I just wanted to extend that a little bit further and remind us what this scripture, this is speaking to the body of Christ. If you're a Christian and you have malice in your heart towards anyone, but let's say especially your spouse, get rid of it now. Right. And only the Lord is the one that can do that. And nobody can make you. It is a choice you need to make in your heart that you are going to be obedient to Christ.
Right. It's funny, as I'm looking at this text again, I mean, it's making it sound like you actually can stop it.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think so.
Look at the New King James says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That means put it away. That means you have to make a conscious decision to do good and not evil. You have to make a conscious decision to love your spouse or your neighbor or your enemy. When we're talking to the Christian, all of these things apply. And that takes deliberate decision to do good and not evil, to never have the intention of harm. Okay, so I'm looking at some of the other translations in here even. The Phillips translation says, let there be no more bitter resentment or anger, no more shouting or slander. Let there be no bad feeling of any kind among you. It's funny, this resentment thing. You know, we have a booklet at our church that we give out free to anybody who wants to take it. I think you could probably find it online and download it by now, because I know it's available for free as a PDF. But it's called Overcoming Bitterness. And it's a major problem in the Christian life. I could tell you that, you know, Christians may not have some of the same sins as the world, though unfortunately they do. But a major one among Christians that seems to be acceptable is bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness could bring demonic warfare into your life as quick as anything else. You know, there's some people go, oh man, stay away from those tarot cards, stay away from the Ouija board, stay away from, and name all this occultic stuff, stay away from it, it'll bring on the devil. Let me tell you something, folks. In my experience of almost 40 years of ministry now, I could tell you one of the things that will bring demonic activity in a Christian's life is unforgiveness and bitterness. And so these things are not to be taken lightly when we read in the scripture to put away bitterness and wrath and anger and all evil speaking and all this stuff, because there's a reason God tells you that. It's not just because he's trying to push you around and make your life miserable. He's trying to spare you from the heartache of living in hatred and bitterness and bondage of soul. Because, you know, you've heard the old saying that when you're not forgiving someone, it's like taking poison and hoping for the other person to die. It's poisoning you. When you're refusing to forgive and you're holding on to bitterness towards somebody, they're not feeling it. That you're walking around with that thorn in your heart, that bitterness, that poison injection. You're walking around with that all day long, every day, and it's killing you. So you got to understand the dangers of bitterness. This isn't just, okay, now for the super spiritual, let's take it a next step. Now that you've stopped murdering, killing, and doing adultery, now let's work on bitterness. No, it's something. It's not optional. It's not for the super spiritual. It's for every one of us need to put away bitterness. Now, let me point out something else about this when we talk about forgiveness, because when Linda mentioned forgiveness, we're supposed to forgive as we've been forgiven. Right away, my mind went to the Lord's Prayer, and I turned to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is instructing his disciples how to pray. And, you know, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And then he says in verse 12 of Matthew 6, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Why would he say that? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. As a matter of fact, some of you might be thinking, yeah, but if there's some people don't deserve my forgiveness. Wait a minute. Do you deserve God's forgiveness? Come on. Let's come to reality here. You don't deserve heaven or forgiveness or any of the things God gives you. That's what grace is all about, receiving what we don't deserve. And so you need to forgive as you've freely been forgiven because Jesus took your punishment for you. He took the penalty of your sin, and by grace, you are forgiven, and now you need to extend that grace to others. Now, in case you think, okay, yeah, but there's some people I just don't want to forgive, okay? I can't forgive them. Well, let me look at the Lord's Prayer a little bit further, because as he says, do not lead us into temptation, deliver us from evil, he goes on to say in verse 14, I'm in Matthew 6, 14. You might want to remember that because you need to look this up. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, listen, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. This is so revolutionary. This is something that you think, well, that's not Christian. Yeah, that's Christ's teaching.
Yeah.
Those are Jesus'
words.
This is Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's teaching his disciples how to pray, and he's teaching them one of the major factors of every Christian's life is to forgive. And then he warns them, but if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you your sins. You don't think that's serious? That's serious.
You think, well, that can't be. I'm going to heaven. I know it. I claim it.
You know, people just love to hold on to the precious promises that bless them and ignore the exhortations, the warnings, the rebukes, the thou shalt nots in Scripture. People just like to hear the stuff that tickles their ears rather than the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God says that Jesus says it here, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. If you do forgive, God will forgive you. Where does it say that, Pastor Mike? I'm glad you asked because I'm going to give you that verse again. You need to write it down or you need to look it up later if you're driving or whatever. It's Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. That's very, very serious. And I really believe what happens is, and this is going to take it, we probably don't even have time to get into it right now, but I've got a full theology that I've studied this, that I believe that when you refuse to forgive, and the Lord holds back his forgiveness from you because of that, there is a whole consequence of demonic influence. He takes his hand of protection off of you, you who are living in bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred. He allows the enemy to have his way with you so that you will finally come to repentance and come to accept, you know, the fact that you need to forgive. Now, there's a whole theology to this, like I said, and it's found in Matthew 18, if you want to go back and read it, where I can hear the music's going to start any second now. But read Matthew 18, and you'll understand that Jesus gives a warning that if you don't forgive, that the enemy, you'll be turned over to the torturers. That's what it says. Don't look for the word, look for it in detail. But we're told to fellow believers, a believer who's been forgiven everything, and yet it's a parable. He refuses to forgive his fellow slave. Then he's turned over to the torturers until he will pay every penny back, everything that he owns. And I'm telling you, what the Lord showed me about that as I've studied it, not just some kind of vision or revelation, but as I've studied it carefully in context, is that in past, in the Old Testament, God has turned his own people over to their enemies to teach them a lesson. When God's people have been in sin, in the land of Canaan, the Lord would turn them over to the Amalekites or the Canaanites, the different ites, sometimes termites. He'll turn them over to their enemies until they learn their lesson and repent. In the New Testament, according to Matthew 18, a Christian who refuses to forgive can be turned over to the torturers, turned over to his very enemies until he learns to forgive. And I believe this has demonic implications. I believe it's very serious. As you can hear, the music is playing. I just gave you an important homework assignment. Lord bless you guys. We'll pick up somewhere around here tomorrow. And I hope you're listening to the Holy Spirit as we speak. God bless. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to You.